Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. We are so excited. We have Ashley Kasten here with us. I was scrolling on Instagram a few weeks ago and came across a really incredible story that Ashley had posted. It's pretty viral, right? How many people have seen that story?
I don't, maybe over a million. Yeah. I haven't looked recently.
We're excited. Ashley's kind of famous.
She's pretty popular.
We'll let her explain kind of what she does and who she is. But anyway, I reached out to Ashley and kind of told her what we're doing over here at Angels Among Us and asked her if she'd be willing to come on and share some of her experiences. And it's pretty awesome. We're in for a treat, I think. So Ashley, I'll turn it over to you and let you give a little introduction and make sure you tell everybody about all of your social media and stuff too, everything that you have going on there.
We'll link her as well so people can start following you.
Well, maybe she needs to link us. She's a little bit bigger than
us. So. Guys, that whole thing is just wild. First of all, thank you for asking me to be on. This is such an honor. You know, it's funny, you talk about that post going viral, right? And anytime I have posted anything that has gone viral, quote unquote, you know, it has been a testimony of the Lord's goodness. And here's what that just shows to me is that people are so hungry and they're searching and they're looking for something deeper and something just more meaningful that adds to their life. They're looking for Jesus, right? And so when we share our testimonies, the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That scripture is so crazy to me because something as humble and as ordinary as our testimony is right next to the blood of the Lamb. Like, that to me is wild, right? And it just shows us, it says to us that we need to be sharing our testimonies. So what you guys are doing, I love, because you are letting people come and share their testimonies, which then brings just hope to people and it breaks chains off of them, you know? And so I think we think of viral posts and we think, oh, it was cute and funny. But something, you know, when you get out there and you share just something so incredible that people don't experience on the daily, you know, especially if they're not in Christian communities, it really does blow them away. And of course, you got the haters that jump on there and they're like, you're a liar. Oh, that's fake, you know?
Yeah, we don't worry about them.
You don't worry about them because you know that they're just blinded, you know? You almost have compassion for them going, yeah, if
absolutely.
You only knew.
Just pray for them.
You know, possibility for them. That's right. That's right. So I'm Ashley Kasten. I'm married to Lee Kasten. We've been married for 15 years and we have 5 girls. So my husband is just a woman in estrogen over here. It's like a tea party all the time. And he has the best responses when people say, oh, you poor thing. You know, all girls. He always tells them, no, are you kidding me? Like, I'm king of the house and I don't have any,
right.
of the top conversations. That's all on her. So right. he loves it. My heart is for motherhood because obviously I am in the thick of motherhood. And so I have a ministry for moms called The Purpose of Motherhood. And that's where you guys found me, was on my Instagram page for that. And that's just something that the Lord put on my heart, was really to start something that would encourage and equip moms who just feel discouraged and tired and weary, that I just want to be someone that comes alongside them and says, hey, motherhood doesn't have to be that picture of like, oh, we drink wine at 5 o'clock just to, you know, get through it. And we're just ready to send our kids off because we're so tired. It doesn't have to be miserable, you know, it can be full of so much joy and really the supernatural, which is part of what we're going to talk about today. So that's kind of a little bit.
We're excited.
I have a quick question. So you said God put it on your heart. So before that, yes. It's kind of, it's funny because that's exactly what happened for us, right? This is 100% out of my comfort zone, out of my really abilities. I am not techie. I'm not anything. And so for me, and I'm sure it could have been the same for you, but like, that's just a testament to me that God not only loves me, but loves so many of his children. And he's using us to hopefully help others. And we don't do this for ourselves. I'm sure you don't do this for yourself. It is for God and for others to hopefully be able to build a relationship with Jesus Christ and find what they're lacking, right? Or enhance what they already have.
Absolutely.
And so I love what you said, and you're just trying to help and go viral every once in a while. I love it.
That's what's so stupid about it too. I'm like, I should not be going viral. That's just how you know it's the Lord, right? The stuff that I'm not like following these trends of like put a trending audio and do three whatever. I'm just sharing my testimony, and it's like I started 2 months ago and I had 1,200 followers, and now it's at like 16,000 or something. Wow, right? Like that's not. And I say that with complete humbleness because it's literally me just sharing the Lord and what he's done, right? And that people are flocking to it because we're supposed to be the light of the world, right? And so I love what you're saying, because yes, when we obey, when he puts those prompting, you know, he puts the prompting on our heart and we're moving along with the Spirit and just following him, he blesses it. His hand is on it because, I mean, that's, you're doing the work of the kingdom. So
absolutely.
Yes, I love that. So I will share, if you guys are good, I'll go ahead and start kind of sharing just a little bit about my story and what we've experienced in our home. So the supernatural for me started very young. I've always known that the supernatural was real. In fact, I think the supernatural is honestly more real than the natural. Like when we really think about it, the natural is going to pass away. This is all temporary, but the supernatural is eternal. And you look at how much of a war there is on making the supernatural this frightening thing. Think about all the horror movies, even the kids' movies that make it, the supernatural, this dark demonic thing, which we know that is real, that is true. But there's such an attack on us to make us so afraid of these things to where we feel powerless when, hey, the Bible tells us do not fear, and the Bible tells us we have authority over these things. And that's one, you know, huge thing that I teach to my kids is that you have authority. You don't have to be afraid. You have authority. Yes, it's real, and we acknowledge that. But also, Jesus is real, and you have authority over all of these things. And so when I was little, I remember being in the car with my parents, and they were praying over my aunt's house. My parents are huge prayer warriors, have always just been a great example of faith for me. And they were in my aunt's driveway praying over her house. She was going through a really hard time in her life. And I mean, I must have been, you know, three. I think my sister was four, and we were just in our car seats. And I still remember it to this day. We looked up, and on the roof, there was an angel as bright as day on the roof. I mean, it was almost like, like you think of at Christmas time, this is a terrible analogy or comparison, but at Christmas time when there's like Santa Claus decorations or whatever on the roof, it was that normal to us to where we were just like, oh, look, there's an angel. And I just remember it all lit up. It was giant and it was bright and it was this massive angel. Of course, now the details of it, that was many years ago. And so the details of it are not, if you ask me, what was he wearing? What did his face look like? I can't remember all of that. I just remember it being up there and just being like, hey, mom, dad, there's an angel. My parents tell that story too. They're like, yeah, the kids, and they couldn't see it. And they said, but the girls were in the back seat telling us, look, there's an angel, while they were praying over the house. Wild, right? So ever since a young age, I always knew that it was real. I never questioned that, right? Grew up in a Christian home. And, you know, just was raised in church. My dad was a pastor. But I think there comes a point in everybody's life where your faith has to become your own, where it's not just something that you're raised to believe, but it actually becomes what you believe. And there's a reason for believing that. And for me, that came when I got married to my husband. So before we met, we were both kind of living the college lifestyle. I've never like stop believing in God or necessarily turn my back. Like if you asked me, I'd say, yes, I'm a Christian. Wasn't necessarily living out the life for him. We met in college. We were We actually met at a club. We tell people we met at church until we get to know them. And then we're like, we did meet in church originally. That's why we say that. We go, originally we met in high school in church in the youth group. Later we re-met at a club. So my kids know we met in church. But the real story is later. We're in that college lifestyle. So we get married. All of our friends are single. And we had just the most horrendous first year of our marriage. And it really started out, looking back now, I realize it was so demonic and dark. There was like a heaviness, even in our apartment, to where we were constantly, daily fighting these just awful fights. And just getting to a place of just brokenness every day. I felt so lonely and I didn't know who to go to even talk to this, but you know, all of our friends are single, so you can't go to them. They'll be like, well, just come out to the club with me, forget him, you know, terrible advice. So I kind of was just, I just felt stuck in it. And I got to the point, it got so bad. I remember it was a Sunday, a very early on a Sunday morning. I was sitting on the couch in our living room and my husband, we had just gotten in an argument. And then my husband all of a sudden says, that's it. I want a divorce. And he walks out the door. And at that moment, I had never been so broken in my life as I was in that moment. I just wept and wept and wept on the couch because I came from a family where that wasn't okay. Divorce wasn't an option. But now all of a sudden I found myself in a situation where, you know, what do I do if it's not up to me? And not even knowing how to fix my marriage. And so I sat there on the couch and I cried and cried. And then all of a sudden in my spirit, not audibly, but so clear in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, get up and go to church, just like that. It was so clear, I didn't even hesitate. It wasn't like I went, well, that's a weird thought. It was out of nowhere and I just knew it was the Lord. So I got myself up off the couch. I went and got dressed, got myself to church. And of course, the message that day was about fighting for something, even if you're the only one fighting. It was like written for me, right? So I'm doing the ugly cry the entire service. And at the end, I went up for prayer and this woman comes and prays over me. And she prays a prayer that literally was just as she's praying over me. I mean, my whole body's shaking, right? And things are just falling off me. I could just feel it. Things just falling off me that I was carrying, because a big thing for me was I was relying on my husband to make me happy. And that's what I had. One of the things I told him was, you're not making me happy, you know, which is, it's just what we think. Like we watch these romantic movies and we think that Prince Charming comes along and he's just there to make us happy. And so that's the only language I even knew of how to express how I was feeling. And so there was so much just at the core of me that just needed healing. And so when she came and prayed over me, I just felt the love of God like I never had before. I just experienced just this tangible just peace over me. And that woman, I mean, you talk about angels in your life, right? We are still close to this day and I just adore her. And she became such a mentor for me in that season. And not even knowing it, it's not like she took me through some course of like how to be a praying wife, how to pray for your man. She just pulled me in her house. She would invite me over while she was taking her kids to school, or she would have me come meet her at the church while she was praying. And she was laying the framework for what it looked like to be a prayer warrior in the home without her even knowing it, just by the way that she lived. And so that kind of just, you know, taught me over these days. Okay, so here I am, you know, weeping at the altar. I leave, go home that day. I tell my husband, we went out to dinner that night. I remember being so excited, right? Because you think like, this is going to transform everything. This is it. So we go to dinner and I tell him all of this and I'm so excited. I'm like, we're going to be just fine. And he's not having it. I mean, he just like checked out. He's like, that's great. That's great that you had some experience at the altar.
Was this the same day that he had told you he wanted a divorce? Still? Okay.
All on the same day. On the same day. Yeah. Yeah. And So what happens next? So fast forward a few weeks later, I could just tell things were off. Things were not getting better. And I'm sitting here trying to learn how to pray and try not to just fall apart. Well, 3 weeks later, that's when the first storm hit was, I had been with a friend at the beach and it's kind of a long story. I'll summarize it. So basically, my dad felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to go over to the apartment. I think I had moved out of the apartment at that point. A few weeks later, I moved out because things weren't getting better. And I'm like, maybe we just need a little separation. My dad felt prompted to go over to him and ask him for his phone. And I mean, that's bold, right? For your father-in-law to come over and say, can you show me your phone? So he went and sat down with my husband and said, hey, what's going on? He's like, I know you still love my daughter. And he's like, well, I don't know if I do. You know, he said, well, can I ask you something? Can I see your phone? And he was like, what? No, no, you can't see my phone. He's like, well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit already revealed it to me. And my husband just broke down crying. And there had been another woman. So I don't know about any of this, right? And I'm still like, I'm praying. I'm the prayer warrior. Well, then my husband, he talked to the pastor at the church. You know, they had this counseling session and, you know, he feels bad for what he's done. He comes to tell me. I lost it because I think that's just something I never thought could happen. And, you know, as a woman, that's just such a, that hits so deep for us for to have a betrayal like that. And so I just lost it. I completely lost it. And for just, I don't know, it may have just been a day or two afterwards. I was so numb and just, you know, crying out to the Lord going, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want? You just have to give me direction because I just want to be done. Well, that was when I picked up the book that the same woman that prayed over me had recommended a book called The Power of the Praying Wife, which is a fantastic book. If there is a woman listening to this that needs a resource, if you're in the middle of a marriage struggle and you feel like there's no hope, get that book. Because what happened for me is I opened up that book and the first page that I read was all about fighting for your marriage, God calling you to fight for your marriage, even if there had been an affair. And so as soon as I read those words, I knew it just hit me so strongly that the Lord was saying, no, even if this happens, I can still be faithful in this situation. So there was kind of this process. So what basically happened there is we ended up, you know, after a few weeks and me just praying and praying and actually calling, that was a whole nother thing, calling the girl and just speaking life over her because I had spoken some awful things about her and I had to call her and forgive her and all of, I mean, all this stuff that was just getting rid of the junk, right? It's like so freeing to do that. It just seems so opposite to what we know in the natural. But when you follow the Holy Spirit's prompting and you do it, you find so much freedom and then joy from it. So then we ended up coming back together, but I knew something was still off. I knew that we weren't at that place that just of true brokenness for him, right? Like my spirit, the Lord did the work in me first, but I knew he still had to do a work in my husband. So over the next probably 6 months, there was so much that still was causing pain and still causing me to question. But here's the coolest thing. I had never heard the voice of the Lord more clearly than I did in those 6 months because it was truly a place of me just clinging to the Lord and going, Lord, I need to hear from you. If you say do this, I will do that. If you say don't, I won't because I had nothing else. I had no other hope. So things would happen. Like here's one thing that happened. My husband always worked Sundays and Wednesdays. He could never get them off. And so he could never come to church. And so I said, Lord, if this is going to work, you've got to get this guy in church. He needs to be surrounded with believers. And so I said, Lord, he has told me several times over and over again, there's no way I can't get Sundays and Wednesdays off. So would you make that happen? Would you get those days off for him? Within a month, all of a sudden my husband says, hey, they actually switched me to a different department and I'll be off every Sunday and Wednesday now. Right? It's just like, just the Lord, again, showing up and giving me those little glimmers of hope, right? Because we think things are going to change right away and they don't always change right away. So we have to keep going. Okay, well, Lord, what's the next thing? So that happened. And then one night I had a dream and the Lord, first of all, had been speaking the date September 1st to me. And this was probably, you know, like May or around then when he spoke that, September 1st. I didn't know what that meant. I just kept hearing that date over and over and over again, again, in the spirit, not audibly, but, and so I went, okay, whatever that means, I'll just hang on to that. One night I had a dream that in the dream, I was talking to one of the pastors at the church and I said, you know, my husband, he's just not there yet. Like there's something, I can't explain it. It's like I knew it was really like a struggle in the demonic that hadn't broken yet. I'm like, there's just something there. It's like, he's not fully given himself fully over to the Lord. And in the dream, the pastor says to me, when he falls, he's going to fall hard. And I look in the dream, I look over to my right and my husband's at the altar just weeping. And so after I had that dream, I'm like, okay, Lord, that's hope. Again, it's that next thing. All right, this is what I'm praying and believing for. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, September 1st, he's going to be falling on his face, weeping, right? You try to put it together and figure out what the Lord's doing. September 1st comes. That day, that was the second bomb hit. that night we were at church and I could just tell something had been so off. And that day I had searched through his phone records and found another number over and over and over again and found out who it belonged to. And it was a woman that he worked with. And so I showed up at church that night. Nothing like bringing your laundry, your dirty laundry to church, right? Showed up at church that night because I knew he was going to be there. Right after he got from work, you know, he was going there and met him in the parking lot and just let it all out. I mean, it was ugly. It wasn't pretty, right? It's not like I was like, the Lord is saying no. I was like, what is this? You know? And I, of course, I'm just frazzled again. Back, I felt like I was back to square one. I'm feeling so broken. And then all of a sudden, I realized what the date was. It was September 1st. And I got so angry because I'm like, you told me September 1st. I've been hanging on for months, praying and believing. And this is what you gave me? Like, surprise. You got another bomb. And I was so just mad and feeling like, you know, is everything that I believe, is it all a lie? Am I just, you know, playing along with some game and thinking I'm hearing from God and I'm not? And so I went home. I kicked my husband out of the house that time. I'm like, you go, boy. And so we separated again. You know, again, I was just in, sometimes you just got to feel the feels. I was feeling the feels. It was all so raw and so new. So he left the house. And again, I just, you know, got back to, okay, Lord, like, I need to hear you. Well, that same week on Friday night, there was a prayer meeting at the church. And so I'm like, I'm all in. I need all the prayer I can get. So I went, and my husband had gone too. And we were sitting on opposite sides of the sanctuary, like not even talking to each other. And at the end of that night, the senior pastor came over to me and he said, how you doing? You know, and I was real with him. And he said, well, I've met with Lee this week. And I'm like, well, that's great. I don't care, but that's great. And he said, you know, you're not a hard woman. You're not a hard-hearted woman. You need to forgive him. Like, what? This is, you are insane. Did you not hear, like, what happened? I don't, like, I was so foreign to me. I'm like, what do you mean? And I said, are you kidding me? And I told him, you know, right now we're newlyweds. I don't want to think that he's sorry for what he's done and then be sitting here 10 years from now going, oh, I should have left him then. And he said, this is the wildest part. He said to me, you're not going to be. And I said, well, how do you know? And he said, because look, God has got a hold of him. I look to the altar of the church, the exact same place in my dream, and my husband is on his knees weeping before the Lord, which if you knew my husband then, he didn't cry. Mm-hmm. He was not a crier. Like, just, it wasn't, he had been raised in just a home where you're tough and, you know, you just don't show those emotions. So for him to be weeping on his knees, I knew that it was the Lord. It was that confirmation that the Lord's hand was in this, that it wasn't just, oh, I'm sorry that I got caught. It was a true heart transformation for him. And it wasn't just him just trying to play the church game anymore. It was him getting to that point of just brokenness and, you know, connection with the Lord. So after that night, you know, we had a long talk. We went on a 40-day fast and then we came back together at the end of it. And the rest is history. Now this is our testimony that we share with couples to encourage them in their walk. Just to pursue the Lord, because that's what was missing in our marriage. We were, you know, just kind of living the Christian life, quote unquote, you know, but not pursuing the Lord together, not even pursuing the Lord like we should be separately. And we weren't in a community of believers. As soon as we unified in that and we started pursuing the Lord wholeheartedly, everything changed. And I look now, I mean, even the fact that my husband, you know, when he got Sundays and Wednesdays off, for him to be at the church on Wednesday nights, I mean, it was such a miracle. But what happened was he started connecting with the youth pastor there, which was just, you know, they just hit it off and they had this great friendship and this, you know, great bond. And he kind of started mentoring my husband. Well, fast forward to where we're at now in North Carolina, that same youth pastor is now the senior pastor of the church that we work at.
Oh my gosh.
Just wild, right? Only God could mm-hmm. do that. So that's kind of, like, where I realized that, like, gosh, God really is a God of miracles and he longs for connection to us. He doesn't want to be this distant God. You know, you think God, when God created us, he created us in the garden. It started with relationship. It was never the intention to just have this distant relationship with the Father where we just send him up a prayer and hope that he's listening. No, he wants to be with us. And the entire story of the Bible from the beginning to the end is the story of God coming closer and closer and closer to his people, like restoring us to where we should be, which is just in relationship with him. And so I think when I think about the supernatural now, I just, you know, we're not to, it's something we don't fear or revere. It's like, that's how I like to say it. It's not something we should be afraid of. It's also not something we worship, right? Like, we're not worshiping angels or like, whatever, just praying, Lord, just let me see any, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just a way of the Lord just coming into relation, deeper relationship and showing up in ways that just blow our mind. You know, I think the Father just delights in that and just blowing us away, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. So, I really want to like tell you, like, thank you so much for being open. I'm sure, I mean, because we don't know you very well yet, maybe this has been something that you have been open about, but I personally, we know friends or acquaintances that it is hard to open up, but I do really appreciate you being open and honest about all of that, because that's the only way that we can help others and who are feeling alone in that. So really, thank you so much for sharing those details.
And there's so much power in that. I'm sure sharing your story, both you and your husband, I'm sure, and you said that he knows that you're on here sharing. And
absolutely, we both share all the details. There's no pain in it anymore. You know what I mean? There's just joy in it for both of us. And so we don't share it from a place of like, oh, is this awful? We share it from like, you're not gonna believe what the Lord has done, and him too, you know. And for him, he gets to come alongside a man. Of course, I tell more of my side of it, you know, because that's what I relate to more, you know, better. But for his side, he shares of how the Lord brought him to a place of brokenness, and the Lord delivered him from just lust and all these different things. So he gets to walk alongside men and share his part of how just the Lord transformed his life and made him a better husband, and me, you know, made me a better wife. And
well, it sounds like we need to get him on the show also.
Yeah, for sure.
He would love that.
I also had the thought, and I know you have more to share also, but you loved your husband, obviously, before this, during this, and now after. And for you, watching him go through some of his struggles, I'm sure there's times where you just wanted to wring him by the neck and say, why can't you just change right now? You know, why can't you be who I need you to be or who I want you to be? And I think we all have people in our lives like that, where it's like, why can't you just do it? You know, and it's so easy to sit here and judge and to be in that position, but there is nothing that I can say or do that's going to change the people that I love and where I think they should be, right? There's nothing that I can say or do. There are little things in my actions that I can hopefully do and help them want to follow, maybe. Just like you said with the woman that prayed over you. But she led by example, right? And we can do that for people, but there's the only person that can really change people is the Savior. And you saw that. And that is so powerful when we're able to actually see that change in those people. And there's nobody and there's nothing that can change people like Jesus can. And that's, that can be hard for us when we're in the moment and we just want people to change, or even maybe I want myself to change, right? But until I really break down those barriers and let Jesus do what he's there for, then I can't do it on my own.
But I will say, it does take a strong, strong woman to endure what you went through. Because I don't know, if it was Brent, I'd probably really be wringing his neck. But, you know.
Well, I have something to tell you.
Oh, stop. Yeah, right. No, it really does. But I'm sure that your husband is so appreciative of who you were through all of that, because it does take a very strong person to just have that faith. I don't even know if that's the right word, but I don't know. We always say I would not be able to endure that, but you don't know until you're in that position. So, you know.
Yeah. It's so true. And I think I've learned too that, well, first of all, and of course I had moments of extreme anger. Like, of course I did. And I'm very real about that too. You know, it wasn't all like roses and butterflies. Like, there was, again, sometimes you just got to feel the feels and let it out and then calm down and go, okay, Lord, now help me process this, right? That's just part of being a human. Like, you're going to feel things. But I have learned that when you become angry, first of all, when you become angry, you lose your ministry. So if you are an angry wife that's constantly nagging and belittling them, telling them what's wrong with them and trying to change them, there you have no ministry. You have no place for ministry there. Which again is a hard thing to do. And part of it's taming our tongue, which we know from the Bible that that's the hardest part of our body to tame. But that you just lose the place for the Holy Spirit to work through you when you just operate in anger. And yeah, the second thing is that I realized and I learned through that situation that the Lord could do so much more if I just yielded myself to Him and let Him do the work than I ever could do with my tongue. My tongue does way more damage in those situations than it does good. And so I just became the way that I lived, that way that I operated. I just knew that if it was going to work, it was only going to be through Him. Because ultimately, if I had just nagged Him through it, it only would have brought temporary change anyways, you know, if He even did change just for me because I was nagging Him. And I wanted a heart transplant, you know, in the Spirit. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it like that. That was, woo.
No, yeah, that was great. If you're okay with it, I would love to hear the story about your daughter also.
Yes. So that's where we're at now, you know, with five beautiful girls and a marriage fully restored and healed and being in ministry alongside each other. We now have this little tribe within our home of these girls who love Jesus, and something we've been really intentional with doing. I homeschool the girls, so I'm home with them and doing the majority of, you know, just pouring into them and making sure that our home, that's kind of our thing as women anyways, is caring for the home and just, you know, making it a place where the presence can rest. And so we've been really intentional with just, you know, having on little simple things, right? Like having on worship music and doing times of Bible study together and teaching them what it looks like to pray, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all that. And so because of that, I've watched that the more that I pursue the Lord in that way, the more my children benefit from it. And one of the things is dreams. My kids have a lot of dreams, which is cool because that's kind of how the Lord speaks to me often too. So the dream that I shared that you saw was she was 9 at the time. She's 10 now. But my 9-year-old came to me, and it was just a homeschool morning. And all of a sudden she says, "Mommy, I forgot to tell you, I had a dream about Jesus last night." Just like that. I mean, just out of the blue, right? I'm like, I'm teaching her about, I don't know, whatever, Mesopotamia. And she's like, bolts out with that. And I was like, what? I mean, I've had some cool dreams. I have never seen Jesus in a dream before. And so she says, like, "Oh, Mommy, you're not going to believe this." And so I said, "Well, tell me, what is it?" And she said, "Okay, so we were all walking outside the house. It was me and all of her sisters, me and all of my daughters. We were all walking out together." And she said, "There was this creepy woman who was like by the side of the house or whatever. And she was trying to get us to come underground with her. And I could tell that she was like not a good lady. You know, we didn't want to go down there with her." And so she said, "We didn't go. We told her no." And she goes, "All of a sudden, we look up to the sky and it's all gray and cloudy and stormy." And she goes, "Suddenly the clouds parted and light came through." And she said, "I saw Jesus coming down with all of his angels." She's like, "Millions of angels." And of course I'm like, "I'm sorry, what? What did you just say?" And she's like, "Yeah." And again, it was probably like me saying I saw an angel as a 3-year-old, right? My parents were like, "I'm sorry, what?" And she said, "Yeah." And she goes, "And I had that same dream 3 times last night," which 3 is a number of confirmation, like in the Bible. And I'm like, "Of course you had it 3 times, this dream of Jesus." And So we start asking all these questions. I'm like, what did he look like? You know, what was he wearing? I think she said he had a white robe on and a red sash, or red on his robe, something like that. And she said, it was just so bright. And I said, did he look like anything you've ever seen before, like any picture or painting? And she said, no, he looked powerful. That's all she could say, was he looked powerful, which is just like, oh, when she said that, I'm like, of course he looked powerful. Of course he did. And so she's, you know, just sharing the dream. We're asking all these questions. Oh, my teenager, her like fear is that Jesus is going to come back before she gets married. I think all of us that grew up in church had that same fear. We're like, Lord, just wait a few more years. So she's like, well, how old was I in the dream? And so my other daughter, you know, the 9-year-old says, you looked about 16 is what she said. So my oldest was like, no. Oh my
gosh, that was so perfect.
It's just funny. But I asked, you know, I'm asking questions too. I'm like, how many kids do I have? Because I think we're done at 5. And she's like, no, only 5. I'm like, praise the Lord. And I said, what kind of car do we drive? At the time, we had a silver Honda Odyssey. I said, what kind of car did we drive? And she said, it was the same. It was a silver van. And I was like, okay. Well, what's funny is that 3 months later, that van got totaled, which is a total God story too, because someone rammed into the back of us going 50 miles per hour and I was stopped. And not by accident, but by the Lord's hand, I didn't have any of the kids in that back row with me that day. And had they been back there, that had been a whole different story. But anyways, so when that van got totaled, it's funny because afterwards, you know, a week later, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, well, Tenley's dream, we had the same silver van. So I guess, you know, that's, do you know, we van shopped for days and weeks and weeks. And we had a certain amount of cash that, because we don't like to have car payments, you know, so it's something we do. So we like to pay in cash. And we had a certain amount of cash that we were going to spend on a van. Do you know the van that we got, the one van finally that we could afford? It's the silver Honda Odyssey.
Oh my gosh.
Of course it was.
It's just funny. I'm like, well, there's still a chance. You know, might be 16.
Oh my gosh.
But when I shared that dream, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know if you got to read in the comments at all, but how many other dreams there were from little kids so similar, like within the last year or two, or adults having those dreams. It was wild. And that's one of the reasons that it went, you know, viral or whatever, is because of the comment section. Is, I mean, it'll give you chills just reading through these testimonies of these people having similar dreams or experiences, or, you know, it does really feel like the Lord is preparing his people, going back to what we were talking about earlier about doing what the Lord called you to do. No matter when he comes back, if it's 100 years from now or if it's 1 year from now, there is so much work to be done for the kingdom. And we can either be like, you know, the story of the talents, right? The parable of the talents, that we can be like the stewards of the money who just hid it in the ground, or we can be the ones that invest it. We can use our gifts for his glory and go, hey, he could come back any minute now, and there's work to be done for the kingdom. And I'm not going to be caught sitting around. Or we can, you know, do the opposite and end up going, wow, I spent all that time, you know, focused on other things and sitting in busyness when there was so much work to be done for the kingdom. It's going to be an amazing day for the believers of the Lord when the Lord returns. It is going to be the most magnificent day, but it is also going to be the most horrific, like beyond what we can even experience for those who are lost, who don't know Jesus. I think it's just easy for us to focus on, oh, it's a glorious day. And yes, but we have got to have the heart of God for his people and realize that he does not want one of them to fall away. He loves all of them. And we need to stop for a second and go, what's that going to be like? How dark will the world turn so very quickly in the blink of an eye when all of a sudden his people are taken?
I don't think I've gotten chills as much as I have on your episode. You definitely, it's been amazing.
I want to talk on the dream really quick. First of all, it's incredible. I don't believe it. I'm just kidding.
Right.
You're a liar. You're the hater in my comments.
There's one piece of that that really stuck out to me, is that in the dream, there was good and there was evil. And there was two parts, right? There was the lady that was trying to entice her daughter and take her down with her. And then there was heaven and Jesus and his angels. And on a much smaller scale, we are all faced with that every day of our lives, where we can either make decisions that is going to help us follow Jesus, or decisions that are really going to take us farther away. And it's good and evil, right? There's everything good and evil. And we haven't really talked about it much on the podcast at all yet, but I 100% know that we're surrounded by angels, heavenly angels, but I know that we are also surrounded by Satan's angels as well. And that can be the fear side of things, right? That you were talking about earlier, where without even knowing it, a lot of us, we've been gripped by those demons, and we have those demons in our lives, but we do have control over them, and we can make decisions that help us get to the other side, closer to the other side. And then before you know it, when you continue making those decisions, you don't even really think about the adversary as much, or it's not as gripping or as fearful. I just try to live every day knowing that I have decisions, multiple hundreds, even thousands of decisions throughout the day. And my hope and prayer is that I'm making a lot more decisions that get me closer to where I want to be, right? And I think that's just what I want everybody to know, like you said earlier, is that we have the power over that, especially when we let the Savior in our lives. We have control over the evil and the dark, but it's also very, very real. And I have more that I can share on that, but maybe that'll be a coming time.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. And one thing that I always kind of think about and that I teach my girls is, ultimately, if your eyes stay fixed on Jesus, there is this level of spiritual warfare that we're called to as Christians, right? Like putting on the armor of God and like using the blood of Jesus. Some of the most powerful testimonies that I've heard have been about, like, I have one friend I'm thinking of specifically, she came out of, she came out of like a life like where she didn't know the Lord and was like literally, I mean, something we don't hear about often, but literally demon possessed. Like, she's like, I didn't know it, but I was. And her testimony, when she talks about walking into a church for the first time, and she said, when they said the name of Jesus, she goes, I am telling you, she's like, people think I'm crazy when I try to share my testimony. She's like, I'm telling you, when they just said Jesus, it was almost like shockwaves went through my body, and my everything in me just felt like, she fell on her knees and she goes, I couldn't move. I was paralyzed, the demon inside her, right, was paralyzed just because of the name of Jesus. And so I think that's so important for us to know, is like, our focus doesn't need to be on that. I mean, we need to know it's real, but really our focus just needs to be on Jesus and on the Savior. We need to spend more time thinking about that and drawing towards that than, you know, the other side, for sure. And we're right, making those decisions, just making the decision to follow Jesus daily and realize that when he is on your side, you cannot fail and nothing can prevail against the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Seriously.
I love it. So we have a couple questions that we usually kind of wrap things up with. You go ahead. You always ask this question.
Doesn't matter. So if anyone has gone through like something similar or is going through something similar to what we've talked about today, what is your piece of advice for them, or a family member who is, you know, having to deal with what they're going through? How can you offer help?
Yeah. Get a prayer closet and spend your time in there. That was my lifeline, was my prayer closet during that, you know, in the season in my marriage. So my piece of advice, I guess, first for the marriage issue, right? Like, get a prayer closet and just spend time actually getting to know the voice of the Lord, which takes a lot more listening than it does talking or, you know, anything else. It's reading the word and listening. Not that you obviously you have to have the talking part too and pouring it out, you know, before the Lord, but I think we spend a lot more time doing that than we do listening. So that was huge for me, just learning to listen for the voice of the Lord. If you feel like you cannot hear the voice of the Lord, let me just encourage you in that, because sometimes that can sound a little weird. Like, what does that actually mean? You hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord can speak in so many different ways. He can speak through scripture. So you could be reading through scripture and something sticks out to you and you're like, I know that was for me. He can speak even through like nature sometimes, you know, like you see something in the sky or whatever. And you're like, gosh, that was just, and I don't mean in a weird new age way, you know, but I just, he put his rainbow in the sky as a sign for us. That's a message to us. And he can speak through just the quiet whispers in your spirit, which that I feel like for me just took some discerning of what is my thoughts and what's the spirit. You know, it's the Lord if it aligns with scripture, first of all. If it's anything that doesn't align with scripture, that ain't from him. You know, if it brings fear or condemnation, anything like that, that's not from him. His words are always, they're either in gentle correction if needed, you know, but it's never like condemnation, or his words could just be encouraging. His words are loving. So you kind of learn the voice of the Father that way. He can speak through dreams. He can speak audibly. There's so many different ways that he can speak, but if you just start pursuing him, the Bible says, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with your whole heart. So there's a promise. Hold to that promise. Lord, you said, I will find you if I seek you with my whole heart. It just requires the wholehearted part, which is, I think, you know, is that sacrificial part of like, I'm going to, as long as it takes, I'm going to sit in your presence until you meet me here. And so for the moms who maybe are saying, I want to experience that in my home. I want the Lord's presence to rest here. I would say just make your home an altar for the Lord. Make it a place where his presence can rest through the simple things. It's not some kind of five-step process that you have to do or something you have to be perfect at. It's literally just saying, okay, we're going to prioritize the presence of God here. So we're going to worship together every day. We're going to read the word every day. I'm going to pray over my kids for godly dreams at night. That was another post, right? That just people were commenting on like crazy was one where I talked about praying against doing spiritual warfare against demonic dreams over your children. And how when I started doing that, their dreams shifted from, like one of my daughters specifically used to have night terrors. And when I started praying over her against like any demonic influence at night, all of a sudden she started having these incredible dreams from the Lord. There were some, I probably have like 20 that I could share, but she started having these like prophetic dreams and just, you know, all of that. And so I would say to that mom, just start in the little steps, even if it's just, hey, we're going to pray at dinner together. We're going to pray before bed and just keep following the Lord's prompting of what he wants you to do next. And you will watch children just become such mighty warriors for the kingdom. And you'll start seeing this kind of stuff will be normal to you. It'll just be like, this is what we expect because we're Christians and Christianity is not boring. If you think Christianity should be boring, then you have not read the book of Acts or, you know, I mean, you look at it, Christianity should be wild. It should be just, it should blow our minds because he's a big, big God.
And speaking of children, I think as adults, mm-hmm. a lot of times we think we know so much better than them, right? Or they say mm-hmm. things sometimes and it's can be just completely out of the blue. I think we need to listen to children so much more than we do. Our daughter has had some really cool experiences. She calls them angels, right? Where she sees different lights flying around in the room, and it's awesome. I love hearing her talk about them. And it's just like second nature to her. It's like, I see them because I have special eyes. You can't see them, Daddy. And it's, again, people might not believe us, but, you know, she came to meet right. us the very first time. And had we just completely blown her off and said, there's nothing there. You're not seeing anything. I firmly believe that children can see a lot more and feel a lot more than what we can. And we need to listen better and learn from them. And I love what you said about dreams. Dreams are powerful. And a lot of my most spiritual moments have been while I'm sleeping, or I've been woken up with different thoughts or things in my head that there's no other way to explain it other than that's my Father speaking to me. And so we need to 100% pray for those moments. And like you said, he will answer our prayers. And you said something earlier in the podcast that we talked about on one of our other episodes too, that God loves to show off for us and just let us know sometimes in huge ways that he's there. And yeah, so thank you for sharing that. I'd like to give you one more opportunity to close it with something that you know to be true.
Could be anything. Spiritually,
and, well, you said a lot of truth.
I feel like after we've talked about all this, how do I summarize? How one thing I know to be true is that that the Lord does have plans for all of us. He's got there are gifts and things inside of us and ways that He wants to use us. Every single person, no matter what your situation is, and it's up to us to surrender those things to Him and be used in such a mighty way. For a very long time, I walked in so much fear. I would have never done a podcast like this. I would have never gotten the privilege of speaking to moms groups and doing all kinds of cool things, but I never would have done it because I was so bound in fear that really just stemmed from a stupid childhood event where I was bullied in school, right? And I was like the quiet kid. And I let that control me for decades of my life. I was 30 years old when I finally was like, which is weird because I'm only 29 right now. But anyways, I was 30. No, I'm just kidding. I'm aging myself. Every time I talk about how long ago this is, I was like, oh gosh. Anyways, sorry, that's vanity talking just completely right there. I'm like, so old. Okay, but I was 30 years old when the Lord freed me of that. And as soon as He did, as soon as He broke off the chains of fear, completely off me and revealed the root of that, where that came from, it's like all of a sudden I went, this is what you've created me for. Oh my gosh. How did I not see that before? I was so bound by fear and so blinded by that, that I couldn't see that this is what you wanted me to do all along, And so this, I know to be true that the Lord has just plans for every single one of us. It's just a matter of us getting to a place of surrender and letting Him break off what He wants to break off and refine us into who He's created us to be, so that we can be effective for the kingdom.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. We appreciate you and your honesty and how authentic you were. It was very much needed. Yep. So.
This was fun. Yep. Lots of fun.
Really quick, one more time, if you can. Show or tell everybody where they can find you.
Yep. So you can find me on Instagram at The Purpose of Motherhood. I have thepurposeofmotherhood.com too. And I've written two books for moms. One is called Lessons I Found in the Laundry Basket. And that's a mother's guide really to just lose the dirt and find joy and peace in motherhood. And that is on Amazon. And then I have a second book called Because She Prayed. And that's a mother's guide to powerfully and purposefully praying for your children. That's also on Amazon.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Everybody go find her and buy her books. We will, for
yes.
sure.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yep.
You're a blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you again. And have a good day.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.